Does it seem like that the summer went by really quickly this year?
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. I can't believe it. It seems like only yesterday that we celebrated the last day of school at WPPK, but in a blink of an eye, August arrived, and now school is about to begin. Families are signing up for after-school activities and getting their calendars in order. Children are packing their new backpacks with fresh school supplies, eager and maybe a little anxious to meet their new teacher and visit their new classroom. And even if we are not part of the back-to-school dash, August still feels like a time of new beginnings. So I can't think of a better scripture to read than the book of Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings. The beginnings of the universe and the beginnings of the people Israel. Genesis also witnesses to the beginnings of God's activity in the life of the world. So this book is more theology, less science and chronology, reminding us that only in relationship to God's creative, life-giving work can our lives be understood, our world seen in right perspective. So, over the next several weeks, we'll be reading through the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, moving from cosmos to creatures, from humanity to family, from permission to prohibition, and the intrusion of sin. Now, these are beautiful passages of text, but like other well-known scripture, their familiarity may lead us to skim over the details, nodding in drowsy agreement with the pleasant rhythm of the words. So I ask you, over these next few Sundays, to listen to the text with fresh ears, like you've never heard it before, expecting to hear something new. A reading from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. Hear anew what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the story begins very simply. In the beginning, God. Before anything else ever existed, there was only God. It's nearly impossible for us to wrap our minds around the idea that at one time, nothing humans have ever laid their eyes on existed. Not the moon or the stars, not the prehistoric organisms we watch on the Discovery Channel, or the great pine trees we can visit in California. The oldest is named Methuselah, and it is thought to be 5,000 years old. Not even color existed. Think about that. God created color at a time when the concept of color did not exist. It's beyond human imagination. Nothing existed. So Genesis is pre-creation. In the beginning, there was only God. And these first few words of Genesis set the stage for the entire Bible. The Bible is not a collection of random stories that don't relate to one another. No, the Bible is one big story about God. God creating, God acting, God redeeming. The Bible is the story of God's history, God's love, and God's purposes. The Bible is the story about God. And like any good story, where words set the tone, the choice of words sets a mood, the Bible creatively describes God with words like Abba, Yahweh, Adonai, and El Shaddai. They each point to a different perspective, a different aspect of who God is. And in Genesis 1, the author uses the word Elohim. Elohim communicates something about God's power and majesty. It's written over 30 times in Genesis 1 alone, and get this, it's a plural noun. It is a plural name for God. But it always governs a singular verb, which makes it, for us grammar wonks, really confusing. A very literal translation might sound something like this. The gods is creating. Pardon my grammar. So what's that about? Is Elohim plural to show God is more majestic and more powerful than anyone or anything? Is it because the writer of Genesis 1 modeled this text after other ancient Near East texts, creation stories that spoke of the gods? From our Christian perspective, we might think that the plural Elohim points to the Trinity, one God in three persons, creator, redeemer, sustainer, all present at the beginning of the beginning. The Gospel of John begins with these familiar words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. The writer of John's gospel wants us to know that Jesus was with God in the very beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. But unfortunately, Genesis doesn't provide us the scientific explanation for creation that some of us so long to have. There's no answer for how the heavens and the earth were formed. We don't find details about how the oceans and mountains and vegetation and animals came to be. No hows, only who. What makes Genesis 1 so profound is its simplicity. God is the one who speaks. God is the one who creates. God is the who. Now, there's a story told about physicist and mathematician Sir Isaac Newton, who had a friend and another scientist who did not believe God had a role in creation. The universe, he thought, just happened by accident. One day, Newton showed the friend his new model of the solar system. It was made to scale, intricately painted, and had a handle that, when cranked, moved the planets and the moons around their respective orbits. The friend was enamored with it and asked, "Who made this machine?" Newton responded, "No one did." So the friend asked again, "It must have been made by someone. Who made it?" "No one," Newton said. "It just happened by accident." If Newton could not convince his friend that a solar system replica had just happened by accident, how could the friend believe that the real solar system, with all its complexity and design, could have just happened by time and chance? In the beginning, by ways and means that we will never understand, God molded the heavens and the earth. And when we see the beauty of creation, how can we not believe in God? That's what astronaut John Glenn expressed after seeing the heavens and the earth from the windows of the Discovery. "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God," he said, "is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith." It's what poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning put on paper when she wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries." Everything has its start in God. What can affirming this truth mean for us as we launch into another school year? How can it impact our daily living? First and foremost, and this is so important, we can take comfort in the knowledge that God can turn our formless voids, our nothings, into something. It's what God did for all of creation, create something from nothing. And it's what God wants to do for us. Hear that again. It's what God wants to do for us. We can trust that God will bring light into our darkness. Now, we are no strangers to darkness. Open the newspaper or get on Facebook, and we're instantly reminded of the chaos in our world. And in our personal lives, we know dark places too. And so we pray. We pray for reconciliation of our fractured relationships. We pray for meaningful work. We pray for a way out of loneliness or pain or grief. We pray to get our lives back on track. We might slip into that unhealthy thought pattern that tells us that our lives are unimportant, that we are insignificant, that God has more important things to worry about than us. But remember those familiar words from the creation litany. When God created the heavens and the earth, God called them good. When God created the insects and birds and plants, God called them good too. But when God created humanity, God called us very good. In God's eyes, we are very good. We are beloved. We are worthy of something new being birthed, being created in our lives. The same power that created the heavens and the same love that sent Jesus into the world is the same force that is at work in our lives. God can turn our darkness into light, our nothings into something. Nothing we can ever bring to God is too chaotic or too dark. God has done it already. God brought order out of chaos. Then God brought order to our chaos by bringing Jesus into the world. And God stands ready to do it again. For you, for me, for all of creation. So for that gift, let's pray. Creator God, Elohim, we praise you today for your majesty and your power. Today we give you our nothings, our darkness, and our chaos. And we pray that you will help us trust that you stand ready to give us light and order and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.